This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Come on. If you'd like to learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire.
Welcome back to another Live from the Fire with Brett Mashburn. And man, let me tell y'all, we just got off this Patreon 2024 turkey camp hunt, and what a blast. It's so much fun getting to see a lot of these guys. I got to go out hunting with Patreon members, first time meeting them. We went out and hunted. Some of y'all probably know him from the Patreon group, Boneless Chuck, which I called him Chuck all weekend, even though I know his name is Charles. We got so many nicknames in the polo that we typically just call each other by our nicknames and handles on polo. But anyways, man, there's a lot of birds killed. I want to say there's five or six birds that were killed on this, and I would highly encourage anybody who's listening to this, if you're not on our Patreon member, Marco Polo, or if you're just on Discord, you should really join Marco Polo. You really got to join into camp, even if you weren't there. You got to see a lot of what was going on, and it's so cool to be able to reach out in the moment and ask a serious question and have 10 guys who reply to you within 5 minutes. It's just really awesome. A lot of good information, especially for new hunters, even seasoned hunters. There's a lot of great deer hunters in this Patreon group. And I think, you know, one of the main things you get from this is just the knowledge and just the friendship and stuff with everybody. It's just really cool. I highly encourage y'all to check that out if you're not already on there. If you are on there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We have people all over the Southeast, and even probably one Yankee. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Chuck, up there in PA. But anyways, let's get into this story. So I head down to Florida this weekend, and I ended up leaving on Friday, which is the day before the opener, turkey opener in Florida. I drive down and get down there, hopefully in time to hear some birds the morning before. And I got into this area, and sure enough, I heard three different gobblers down in this area. I stayed there for a while and tried to pinpoint them, but my hearing is awful, so I had a general idea. And I packed up and went and scouted a few other places and didn't see a whole lot of sign, but the first place I stopped at where I heard turkeys, there was a lot of turkey tracks and a lot of turkey sign. So I did some scouting, and about lunchtime we went back to camp. A lot of us met up at camp and got all that situated. Went back out that afternoon to a totally different place on this particular piece of public we were all hunting, and didn't hear anything, didn't see any turkey sign, just looked like perfect habitat, but I just didn't see anything that told me turkeys were there. So I know Chuck was coming in, Boneless Chuck was coming in Friday night, so I met up with him and told him what I found, and we kind of discussed we'd go where I heard those birds for opening morning. And we agreed that I would be the first shooter, being I've never killed a bird in Florida. And so we kind of got a game plan, got up early, went back in on opening morning, and we kind of parked at, he went and parked at a gate that we were hunting behind. Well, I parked at a gate that's just up from it because I had some locals last year. I roosted a bird in the same area for the opener last year, and a local come in from a different gate and cut through the woods to the back of this road so we didn't have to walk so far, and cut me off, and I ended up not being able to hunt that spot all weekend. So this time I parked at the gate that he was parked at and walked in the way he did, after doing some scouting, figuring out how he got back in there. That way, hopefully this year we didn't get cut off, and luckily we didn't get cut off. I had a bunch of people pull in, or we both had people pull into the gates we were parked at. But anyways, we get in that morning, don't really hear anything, and so we slip back down this road that goes off into a swamp, and get back in there and kind of set up close to the edge of this little high spot in the swamp. And we set up, and Boneless Chuck's like, "You hear that? Hear that gobbler?" And I was like, "Nope, I can't hear nothing." So there was a gobbler probably about 300 yards, and I couldn't even hear him. I mean, just awful. So we got stood up to make a move, and after we stood up, I could hear him, I guess, because originally he was kind of straight behind me, and I couldn't hear him. But I could barely hear him after we got up, and we slipped in on this bird probably about 150 yards from where he was roosting, and got right to the edge of the swamp, and he was down in the swamp roosting. We tried calling at him, and he ended up pitching off and kind of going the other way, working away from us, and he would gobble on his own every once in a while. So after he kind of got far enough away from us, we start slipping into the swamp towards where he was roosted, and kind of just following behind him. And as we're going through the swamp, we're like, "Man, there's turkey tracks here. Here's a turkey track. Here's a turkey track." And what we come to notice is these little cypress knee swamps that's got water and green grass and them little like little duck looking lilies or whatever in it. There's turkey tracks all in there, and we kind of make our way somewhat to the other side of the swamp. There's this big cedar tree, and in that area there was just tracks all around, and sure enough this gobbler fires off and we're slipping through the swamp, and now I know I think he was probably closer than what I originally thought. But we slipped up another 100 yards, and I think we may have accidentally spooked him, maybe. I'm not sure, but we slipped up closer to the area he was roosted, and we set up and called and nothing. Never heard him again, so we kind of think we bumped him. And we scouted the area, and there was a high spot that he kind of went to. And we scouted in there, and it was a slap full of turkey tracks. And then we circled around the swamp, went out a different way, found a bunch of good sign, and figured out, you know, he's right there in that bottom. We went back out to the main road and made a big loop to try to get in front of this bird and come in another access on down. And we got in, and we went out to another high spot that was on pass about 500-600 yards from where, well, yeah, he's probably about 600-700 yards when we last heard him. And we slipped up there and called and never heard anything, but we found three or four really fresh dust bowls in there that looked like they were worked today. So I don't know if we were just behind him. We set up there and ended up sitting there till about 3 o'clock that afternoon, or 3:30. And then we backed out because Boneless Chuck had to leave and head back home. He only had one day to hunt. And we learned a lot about that bird, kind of which direction he's working, where he was roosted, what he was doing. And we slipped out, went back to camp, hung out with everybody. On Saturday, we had a big Patreon cooking. And they had a seafood bowl, basically, with low country bowl with crabs and shrimp and all that good stuff. And we had a good time, a fire going. There was probably about 20 of us there. There's always a good time when you get all of us together. And we do all that. I get up the next morning. It's the second day of the turkey season. And I get in real early to my gate because I know where I wanted to be. And I know there's a bird, so, you know, extra motivation to be there a lot earlier. So I slip way back in the swamp. It was about a little over a mile and a quarter from where I parked to get back in there. I get set up in there pretty early and just, you know, stargaze and listen to the owls and waited for the sun to start coming up. And sun's been up a while now, and I've heard probably a dozen owls. Haven't heard anything. My hair is real bad, so I have these, I think they're axle, like hearing aid things that you can put in. You can hear better, and also they dampen, like shots. That way you don't mess your hearing up. So I put those in, and I'm sitting there listening, and I finally hear a gobble, and it come from right where that bird the day before was roosting. So to say I was excited was an understatement. I was like, oh, he's right back in the same spot, and I know exactly how to get there. So I ended up finding an old deer trail, and it took me right down in there through this high spot. And it's really thick where I'm slipping through. And I'm going real slow, just taking my time, making no noise, slipping in. I say about 100 yards, and he gobbles on the roost. I'm like, okay, I still got room to slip. There was a cluster of trees out in front of me, and I kind of put where I thought he was and where I was, I kind of put those trees between us to help block any kind of movement that I was making. And I slipped up another 50 yards of those trees. And I kind of just sat behind those trees because I couldn't get out anywhere good without this bird possibly seeing me. I was about 50 yards from the edge of the swamp. And it's real thick around me, but there's some open holes. And I kind of sat up there, and I waited and waited, and he never gobbled again. I was like, man. I said, nope, I'm trusting myself. I know he was down here. It's where he was yesterday. So I broke out my honeycomb copper pot call. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, that thing's sweet. So That call is copper on one side, and on the back side, it's got slate, a little piece of slate that's about the size of a quarter on the back. Really, really good for soft calling. So I got one of my strikers out, and I did some just real light purring and clucking on that pot call. And typically, I just do a little bit of calling. But this time, I actually called a fair amount. And I did it for a little while, and I stopped, and I called some more and stopped. And I had flipped it over and did a little bit of soft yelping on that copper. And I was sitting there listening, and a pileated woodpecker come through there, and he was being real loud. And I was like, man, he ain't gobbled at that. And sitting there just listening, and all of a sudden he fired off. And when he did, I noticed he was a little further to the right, and I could tell he was on the ground. And I had that copper pot in my hand with a striker. And so I immediately just cut back, just pop, 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 pop. And he hammered. I mean, hammered. And I hit him again. Pop, 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 pop. And he hammered again. I was like, oh, yeah, he's close. Set the pot call down. I scramble. I had my 360 out, and I scrambled to get my tripod out and set up. And I barely got it set up and level, and I could hear him spitting and drumming. So I hit the record, and I just faced it to the one big opening I had in front of me, hoping he was coming there. And I could hear him spitting and drumming, and it was just real thick. And I finally seen him. He was only about 20 yards, and I seen him through a little hole about 45 degrees to my right. So I slowly swung my gun, and as I get it to that little opening, he walks through the opening. He was strutting. He walks through it and gets behind another thick spot. And you can hear him spitting and drumming, and he stayed there, it seemed like, forever, although it wasn't. And I'm kind of behind this tree, so at this time, I am free holding my gun, no knees, no nothing involved, because I'm actually kind of sitting on my knees. And I have my SoCo honeycomb mouth call in, combo cut. And I try to do some light clucking and a couple light yelps, and he finally gobbles. Man, it sounded like he blew the leaves off the ground. He was so close, and he gobbled like within 20 yards. I mean, just awesome. And I was looking, I was like, man, if he keeps working that way, he's going to pop out. So 90 degrees to my right, there was like this open path 30 yards through the woods, about a foot and a half wide. Looked like a big deer trail, if you will, through the woods. It's just one little open little lane. And I couldn't quite swing my gun all the way over there because my 360 was in the way. I had it kind of high up. And I was like, man, I hope it didn't come right there because this could get interesting. And sure enough, I finally see him, and he's about to pop out in that little opening. And I have my gun as far over as I can get it up against the 360. And as I can see the 360, it's flashing a daggum yellow light, which means something's wrong. It's not recording. It should be flashing red. Well, evidently, this bird pops out in the opening. Well, he turns and looks directly at me at like 18 yards. And I'm like, well, it's now or never if he gets past this. He has got behind me, and it's even thicker. And there's no shots. So it's now or never. I had to swing my gun up over the 360, back down, and try to get a shot on this bird before he flees. So here we go. Pop the gun over, come back down, and this bird doesn't move. He just sits there and looks at me. And I was like, whew, you done messed up now, big boy. And I got that bead on him. And I let him have it and just hammered him. And he flopped. Luckily, I had a Tacticam mounted on my gun. And I captured a footage of him being shot. Because at this time, if you've heard, my main camera's pointing out in front of me. my 360 has something went wrong on, and the only camera that I had left was my Tacticam 5.0 on my shotgun, and luckily it was still running, so I captured that. So I have a little bit of footage from all three cameras that I could put together and still make a really good video. So I'll be on the lookout for that. And I shoot this bird, and man, the excitement of just all the work put in the day before season, the day of season, chasing this bird, figuring out a better way and getting in there, just something about actually calling one up myself. This is probably only the third bird I've ever 100% called in and, you know, and shot myself. So that was really awesome. And it was my first bird ever in the state of Florida and my first Osceola. And it was just awesome. And he was a really, really big bird. He was just over 17 pounds, which I hear is a pretty big bird for that part of Florida. Had these beautiful black wings, this beautiful bird. I shot a bunch of his beard off. So I gave him a little haircut on the beard, but he ended up having like a 9 1/4 inch beard, 1 8 spurs, just over 17 pounds. This beautiful, beautiful bird. And needless to say, I took off running because the bird started flopping, and I didn't want him to get away, which he wouldn't have. But anyways, I ran with my main camera, so I kind of got some of that on footage of him flopping and all my excitement and all that good stuff. It was just awesome. And I'll tell you one of the coolest parts about that whole hunt was being able to share the harvest and the excitement of what just happened with the whole Patreon community that we have over here at SoCo. Man, you know, like me being a really big solo hunter that I've been for so many years, not having that hunt camp per se, not having that camaraderie with this Marco Polo group, you have that at your fingertips. You have your hunt camp. You have 10 guys ready to answer you back and within 5 minutes. And I posted, man, the excitement, the probably crazy stuff I was talking, and just the fun, and everybody hooping and hollering, and excitement for killing one was awesome. Just really great to be able to share that with somebody. So I highly encourage y'all, if you're not part of this Patreon group, it's worth every bit of it. Just the camaraderie, all the knowledge that's in the group is well worth it. Not to mention giveaways. You get discount codes for any kind of SoCo gear and Honeycomb custom calls. Just, you get a lot of great things besides just giveaways and promo codes you get. All these things I've been talking about. But I get this bird, and I enjoy him for a while, sitting down there in the swamp, and I just get to enjoy the, now at this point, almost a mile and a half walk out back to the truck with my bird, talking on Polo the whole way back. It was just awesome. It just, being able to relish in that moment with the Marco Polo was just, man, it's hard to put in words, I'll just tell you. So I'm really grateful for all those guys over there and everything. So we ended up killing like 4 birds that day. It was just a really good day of hunting. And get back to camp, meet up. I think Walt killed one that day. Joey killed one. Tutal killed one. And I was able to kill one, and we got back and was able to take pictures at camp with those birds and just hang out the rest of the day and just hang out with everybody. It was just really awesome. The Patreon turkey hunt was great. I love those hunts. Going to Florida, there's always birds getting knocked down. There's a lot more camp action. Like, a lot of people will maybe take afternoons off, or they're back a lot earlier other than deer hunting. A lot of people come back during lunch, and it's just a lot of good times to be had at turkey camp, man. A lot of good times. I love our Patreon hunts we have. I would highly encourage any of y'all. I mean, that's just another great reason to sign up right here. And we also have a turkey contest going on right now. So the five SoCo guys, Walter, Parker, Joey, Matt, myself, all our team leaders, and everybody was random drawing on our teams. And it's really motivated me this year to get out and seriously turkey hunt. And I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great time. So I hope y'all enjoyed this kind of behind-the-scenes story. And I hope y'all come and join us one day at one of these hunts. And until next time, y'all get outside and enjoy the great outdoors. We'll see y'all.